hope you have your Bible tonight. We're going to do a simple Bible study real quick here. And if you will, 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4. I've been doing types, but now I got to think about all the attacks on people, you know, and all the things that's going on. I thought maybe tonight I would do something that would help folks that are being a suffering or being attacked and all these things, and then half of them didn't show up. But I'm going to go ahead and preach it to you anyway, and we'll get back on the types next week, and they can just listen to it on the internet. 1 Peter chapter 4. I want to tell you before I do that, we picked up my grandsons at school today, me and my wife, because Charity goes to a Bible study here in town, and she gets home too late, so we went and picked them up and took them home. And little Gloria, the little granddaughter, my little granddaughter Gloria, she came out there and that little red flaming hair, you know, and she sat on my lap on the steps, and she wanted to tell me a song that she had learned at this Bible study. They have a children's class too, so she takes Gloria with her, and Gloria, she said, "Papa, I went to my class today. My class." She calls it her class, and she said they sang a song. She said, "Tell them what the song said, Gloria." And she said, "Gloria, hallelujah." Praise the Lord. She thought they were singing about her, because the song says it over and over, "Gloria, hallelujah." But it says glory, but she hears it, "Gloria, hallelujah." So she thought they were singing. And then she started singing, "Oh, how I love Jesus," or something like that, really sweet. But it's important to keep kids in church as much as possible. 1 Peter chapter 4, if you will, let's start with verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you." Now that tells me it's going to happen, doesn't it? "Which will try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." It's not going to be unusual for these things to happen. "But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he's evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." Skip down to verse 19. "Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God..." Whoop, what did it say? "According to the will of God." All suffering ain't from the devil.
That's right.
"Let him that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing." That means don't change what you're doing. Just keep doing well. "As unto a faithful Creator." I don't know why we as Christians expect life to be easy and comfortable. Why do we expect that? Why do we think everybody's going to speak well of us? Why do we think that we shouldn't ever be sick? Why do we think that we shouldn't ever suffer? Why do we think that we should never do without? Just because you're saved don't exempt you from trials. You're still carrying around that old sin-cursed body. We're still moving in and out and amongst people in sin-cursed bodies. We live in a sin-cursed world. We've not been delivered from this world. We're not of the world, but we're still in the world. And with that comes trial and tribulation and sickness and suffering. We're not exempt for that. I don't care what the TV preacher tells you. Now, in fact, it could be just the opposite. Instead of having it easy, there's a lot of Christians have a hard, hard, hard life. It may be Our faith will increase our trouble. Look at 1 Peter again, chapter 4, verse 12. Look at it. Get back over there to verse 12. In verse 12 he said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial." Now that's more than a normal trial. That's a big deal, a fiery trial. You know, that means this is up and beyond what a normal trial might be. So we do. We have sometimes we have trials. Sometimes we have worse trials than lost people do. Now, in America, we're blessed more than most countries because we're not persecuted like they are. Now, we get made fun of, we get criticized, lied on, you know, things like that. But nobody's putting guns to us or a knife to our throat trying to get us to deny Christ. I'm not saying that will never happen in America, but I don't believe it's going to happen in our lifetime. Unless you go to Flint, Michigan. And you don't wear that little dolly on your head or cover yourself like those women. That's all Muslim up there now. They might do it. But down here, we're still blessed and we still live like it's a free country. But God uses our suffering for good things. And did you know He promises to go with us through the suffering?
That's right.
Now, He promises to give us hope in the middle of our suffering. Whatever the situation is. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. Now, no chastening. Now, we know chastening means whipping, right?
Yep.
No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. Nobody likes to get a whipping. But grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Sometimes God uses a painful experience to purify us.
Right.
It sure gets you caught up on your prayer line.
Amen.
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 Amen. It'll sure humble you.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
These things will drive us to our knees, and it'll open our eyes to how we've really come short. When the old devil attacks, when there's fiery trial, first thing we have to do is look at ourselves. And did you know God uses the devil to chasten His children sometimes? I mean, there's a whole book on that. His name was Job. and so we can't say, well, the devil did it. We maybe he did, but he couldn't have done it if God hadn't let him. So it drives us to our knees. And look, these things are designed by the devil to crush us. But in here it says it yields peaceable fruit. In other words, I don't know about you, but when I was young, I got whippings and I got a good number of them. And I deserved a lot more. I just didn't get caught. Amen. I deserved more. But when I did get a whipping or a good scolding, as I got older, I'd tell Mama, I'd say, "Mama, don't fuss at me. Just whip me. I can't stand it when you fuss at me. Just whip me." But by then I was a teenager, it didn't hurt no more. So she'd scold me, and that's worse than a whipping. And I never did enjoy it, but you know, after it was over, I'd think about it. Boy, she was right. She was right. I need to do better. Now, people don't chasten their children anymore, so those children miss that peaceable fruit. Now, we got a whipping. Like the Bible said, it wasn't enjoyable when we got it. But after it was over, and they said, "Go to your room, think about what you did." Y'all remember that? I'm sure I'm looking at a bunch of them that remember that. And you sit around there, and at first you was just mad. Then you get thinking about it and you thought, well, she's right. Oh, not done that. But that gives you peace. When you come to that point, it gives you peace. You're not mad anymore. You're not sad anymore. You're not upset anymore. You've got the peace. Now, you've been through this. You learned something. It gives you peace. But today's children don't get disciplined, so they miss the peace. And their life's a continual turmoil because it's always fussing, never chastening. A lot of Christians are the same way. They don't get the peaceful fruit because they don't endure the chastening. They run away from it. Or they deny it. Now, look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Y'all still with me?
Yes, sir.
Romans chapter 5. Look at verse 3 and 4. Romans chapter 5. I'll wait on you. It's Wednesday night. Verse 3 and 4. Chapter 5, verse 3 says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." Now, those things, difficulty, problems, trial, tribulation, whatever, they have a way of testing us. To see what you're really made out of. Now, God already knows what we're made out of. It's for us to find out what we're made out of.
Amen. That's
it. Is that right, Brother Forrest? Amen. You might be a Johnny Reb, but he can whip you.
Amen.
And he can say, "You might be a Johnny Reb, but you're a child of mine. I'll keep you straight." I would say it's a character adjustment. It's a character adjustment. Our character's flawed. So the trial or the tribulation or whatever it might be adjusts what we think and how we act to go the way we ought to instead of going the way we were going. So we have to adjust to how we think, how we act, our character. We've got to adjust that because of trial and tribulation sometimes. And a lot of times you'll go into something, you'll come out a better Christian.
Amen.
Your character will be better than it was. I've had people tell me that near-death experience was the best thing ever happened to me. I've had people tell me that. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, if you will. Let me get back over there. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Did you know God uses suffering? He allows suffering. Sometimes He inflicts it. Verse 7, Apostle Paul speaking, he said, "And lest I should be exalted above measure," or think more of myself, "through the abundance of the revelations," you know, what he was saying was God showed me so much, He revealed so much to me that God had to do something so I wouldn't get to thinking I was more than I really was. "There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me." You know, buffet means hurt. "Lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness."
Yes.
And what he's really saying is this: you couldn't say that you did anything when you go through this. You'd have to say God did it.
Yes.
"Most gladly, therefore," Apostle Paul speaking, "most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities." He said, "You sick? Yeah, amen. Glory to God." "People attacking you? Amen. Glory to God." "You having a hard time? Amen. Glory to God. Having a hard time." He's glorying in his infirmities, his problems, his weakness, and then "that the power of Christ may rest upon me." And what he's saying is, I'd just soon have that thorn in the flesh compared to the glory that God puts on me and in me, and I get these revelations and I'm so close to God, this little thorn's worth it all.
Amen.
Amen. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, we're not going to win anybody to Christ without the power of Christ. We're not going to influence anybody without the power of Christ. We're not going to do anything for God without the power of Christ. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient. So what are we going to do? We're going to say, God, whatever grace you give me in this situation, I'll just take that. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Now he's comparing the spiritual to the physical. Now, they teach us to depend on the Lord for the power of God to go on. You ever look at anybody and say, I don't know how to keep going? You ever thought maybe it's the power of God that keeps them going? I don't know how Ron Robson preaches at four nursing homes. He's got COPD, can't hardly breathe. His heart is out of control. His blood pressure is out of control. His diabetes is out of control. You'll just have to say, well, glory to God. Glory to God. Only God does that, see. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. You see, when there ain't so many people here, it don't take me near as long to preach. Because the bad ones are all out. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. Amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4, 17. Look at it with me. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Did you know that sufferings have eternal benefits?
Yes, that's what it
says. Suffering, trials, tribulation, persecution, you know, whatever. Those troubles have eternal benefits. So here's our problem. All we look at is now. Right now. I'm hurting right now. I forgot who I told the other week. I said, this is just today. It'll be better a week from now. And it'll be better than that another week from now. And it'll be better than that another week from now. This is not going to last forever. But our sufferings, the way we go through suffering and depend on Him, those will benefit us in heaven. A far more weight of glory, he called it, didn't it? Isn't that what he said? Working for a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. An eternal. And exceeding means you can't even measure. Right. Now, I'm not going to get many rewards when I get to heaven. But I'd like to be able to say, I suffered a little bit and didn't whine and cry and complain and quit. Amen. Get me a little reward anyway, amen. I might not can win the whole town to Christ, but I can suffer right. I can endure tribulation right. I don't have to whine and complain. Well, I tell you what, if some people would get the long look, the blacks used to call it the long look. They're going to the long home, they called it. That way, the long home, long way off. And they'd preach about getting a long look, meaning they were looking way off. And I don't know what you think about Martin Luther King, but if you'll listen to his sermon and read it, that was a good scriptural sermon about Moses going to the mountaintop. And he looked over into the promised land. And I know Martin Luther King had a lot of politics about him and all that. But that's a good idea, to look ahead to the promised land.
Amen.
Because it's hard right now, you know. And I can't imagine being a black person in the 50s and 60s. He had to be taking a long look. Amen?
Amen.
And we need to do the same thing. Sufferings have eternal benefits. Earthly afflictions end, listen to this, with heavenly results.
Amen.
I don't like suffering. My wife tell you right quick, I'm a big old baby. Well, she picks on me a lot too. She has no pity on me for nothing. And she's made me tough and mean like I am today. My mom used to come in there and bring me a glass of water every 5 minutes when I'm sick, and put a cold towel on my head and make sure I had everything just right, you know.
Huh?
Yeah, when I had, oh, I ain't going to tell you what they said they wouldn't do when I had an earache. They had all kind of home remedies for earache. I had them blow smoke in my ear. I ain't going to tell you what they wanted to pour in my ear. It was warm, though. And but my mama didn't do that. That was other people telling me to do that. But the point is, we need to stop looking at the temporary and look at the eternal. Now, if all things work together for the good of them that love God, them that's called according to His purpose, then the reason these things work together for our good is for a purpose.
Yes.
And the purpose is not that we be happy. The purpose is to glorify God. So we have to look at everything we go through, that we're going through it, that God might get glory.
That's it.
That's it. And I've been in hospitals and see sick people and stuff like that, and some old guy come in, and he'll quote that verse, Romans 8:28, to people who are not even saved. Not even saved. But he don't know the whole verse, this is all he'll say. You know, all things work together for the good. For who? That's what I want to say. For who? Not for that guy. For them that love God. For them that's called according to His purpose. Not that guy. He don't know God. You know, but this ain't working together for His good. If there's any good in it, it would drive him to his knees and he'd get right with God. Christians, American Christians, now I'm going to tell you something. I've been looking. The Chinese Christians are being killed every day, persecuted, killed. Churches burnt down, preachers put in jail. They going through this stuff and they still love God. And you and I get mad when people criticize us. People quit church because somebody at church, one person gets mad at somebody else. And I told one not long ago, I said, sit at the front, you won't see her. I wouldn't let her keep me out of church. Sit at the front. You won't have to see her. Well, when we shake hands and stuff, I said, the way it sounds, you ain't got to worry about her coming to shake your hand. But we just quit. Christians quit every little, oh my goodness, if their TV goes out, they think they're going through a trial and tribulation, you know. If they lose their cell phone. Yeah. People think they're poor. I said, why do you think you're poor? They said, I don't have a cell phone. I said, when did that qualify for poverty? And some say, well, we don't have cable. Well, glory to God, you're better off. Amen. Well, we poor because we don't have a new car. I ain't never had but one new car in my life. And I'm dumb to buy that one. If you buy anything less than 2 years old, there's something wrong with you. You could have got a lot cheaper at 2 years old. I don't want to make you mad. I'm just preaching, okay? But what we call persecution and trial and tribulation, God winks at that and says, that ain't nothing. Do you know what Paul went through? Do you know what they did to Peter? Do you know what they did to John? Do you know what they did to Andrew? Do you know what they did to the first century Christians in Rome? They tie them to a pole, soak them in tar, stick them up in the ground and light them and light the streets with Christians at night, burning them. Hebrews chapter 11 says they were thrown to lions, torn asunder, lived in caves, lived like animals. And it says who the world is not worthy of. And our poor little old church members get a stump toe. Now, you know what these truths ought to do? They ought to encourage us in our trial to look at it from the top side instead of the bottom side. I'm sure y'all heard that story. I heard it one time. It still astounds me. He said this lady was sitting there and she was making, what do you call that thing where you make pictures with thread and you got that round thing, you know, and it's got a pattern on it and you're making a picture. What brought, huh?
Embroidery.
Embroidery. So she was sitting there making that thing, you know, and pulling it through and pulling it through. So her little old grandson sitting down there and said, "Grandma, what are you making?" She said, "A beautiful picture." He said, "Sure, it's ugly from down here." Because all he could see was all them old strings hanging down. You know? And that's the way our life is. From down here, sometimes it looks awful ugly, but God says, "Wait till you get up here and see it." Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Well, I hope that encouraged you tonight.
Amen.
Thank God. Thank God. Hey, he can take care of us in or out of tribulation, trouble, and trial. Amen?
Yeah.
Patty, you're going to be better a week from now than you are today. Jeffrey, you'll be better a month from now than you are today.
Amen.
Amen. Just keep looking up. Amen. 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 All right. Well, let's stand and come on, Holroyd. Lead us in a...